Like Todd said, I'm Dakota. I work with our students here, and today you're going to get a little bit of a taste of what we do on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, because I'm going to kind of use a message that we did a few months ago with our students. And the titles of the series is called All Access. And just to kind of catch you up and get you where we're going to be at in this is that basically we're talking about what it means that Jesus died and came back from the dead for us, and how that changes the fact that we no longer have to go through and someone else to get to God or something else, but we have complete and total access to Jesus through what he did on the cross. So we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit, but this video that you just saw shows a little bit into what temptation looks like, right? So I know it's kind of a silly way of looking at it. Some kids, they put a marshmallow in front of them, and you know, they have to deal with sitting there. And they can either eat the marshmallow and have something right then, or they can wait and they can get something later, something more, right? And they know what's later. They know that they can get more, so they have the choice to make. And it's interesting because the end of that video, you've got the kid talking about how important it is to wait for the marshmallow, and he didn't wait. He took like a big chunk out of it, and he's just sitting there. It's like half eaten on his plate. But we want to look into a little bit deeper of how Jesus' death affects temptation in our life and how we view that and how having all access to Jesus changes that. Okay, so basically what I want to talk to you about is that we all know what it's like to be tempted, right? Every single one of us has been through some kind of temptation. A lot of us have fallen into temptation. And so we can all kind of come together on that one point. And we can all just kind of sit and realize that's the way it is. And we look at this video and we're like, yeah, Dakota, that's an example of a really small temptation. Some more examples of really small temptations is like maybe when you were younger, or even now, I don't know, but you try and find out what your Christmas present is before Christmas. You know, you peel back the corner, you know, and then you check it out, you see what it is, and then you tape it back and hope nobody finds out, or you go into the closet and find where it's hidden or things like that. Maybe it's that you hit the snooze button a few too many times, knowing that it's going to make you late, but you're just like, oh, so good. 8 more minutes. Or maybe you're the one that is kind of watching Netflix and 20 seconds till the next episode, and you're like, I've got 20 seconds to decide if I'm going to do anything with my life today. And you just go ahead and just, you know what, I'm not even going to wait. I'm just going to click it and move to the next episode. So then you're stuck in this day of just complete binging of Netflix. And again, these are smaller temptations, and we can talk more about the heavier temptations in life. Like maybe you're the person that is tempted often to gossip and to talk about other people and to talk behind their backs and things like that. Or maybe you're just a compulsive liar, and every chance that you get, you lie about something, and you're just kind of stuck in this rut. Maybe it's something even more. Maybe it's what you're doing on the computer when no one's looking. Maybe it's what you're doing with someone else that isn't your spouse. Maybe you're the person that just has a deep hatred for your boss or a coworker, and you're just not willing to deal with that. There's a lot of things that we're tempted with, and that list can just go on and on and on, because there's so much that we're tempted with every single day, and there's so many ways that we can just fall into that, even though we know that if we don't, God promises that we will have something greater later. But we still choose to do those things, right? And that's what's crazy, is that we're all to the point where we know that we shouldn't do these things. We know that we should not fall into these temptations and indulge ourselves, right? We know that these things are going to have an impact on our life that's probably negative. And we don't have to come to church to know that, do we? Everybody knows outside of these walls the things that they're supposed to do and the things that they're not supposed to do and the same things that are going to hurt them and the things that are going to hurt those around you. And here's what's insane, is that we still do them. We know that if we watch that episode of Netflix, that it's just going to lead to another one and another one and another one. We know that if we look at that on the computer, that it's just going to lead to another time and another time and another time. We know that if we keep that hatred within us, it's just going to fester and grow and hurt people around us. And yet, we still do that. We still fall to this temptation. We still say yes. And that's crazy. And some of you might be the person who just is completely oblivious to the fact that these things are bad for you. You know, you do these things and you're like, I have no idea that this is going to hurt me or people around me. That's a real thing. Some people, that's a very unlikely thing. But some people are ignorant to what's happening. The more likely scenario, though, is that you're the person that has tried and tried and tried, and you've tried to avoid the temptation. You've sought out help, and you've tried to figure out ways to not do it. You've moved the computer. You've turned the TV off. You've thrown it out the window. Whatever it is, you've tried to figure these things out to not fall into these temptations. But there's a point where you just can't say no anymore. You're that person that's like, I just can't. I'm tired, and I can't do it. Well, listen, there's a little bit of encouragement here for you, because that is a real thing. It is a real thing that people get to the point where they just can't on their own say no anymore. Researchers that have been looking at the brain and that are way smarter than me, they have kind of figured out that the brain is a lot like a muscle, in that someone who is just completely trying to not fall into temptation over and over and over, basically, their brain just runs out of power. It just can't do it anymore. So they fall to that temptation. So what does that mean? That means that we need something else to fix that. And that means that we ask this question, what do we do when we know we shouldn't say yes, but we don't have the power to say no? What do we do when we know that we shouldn't say yes, but we don't feel like we have the power on our own to say no? And a lot of us have this idea in our head that when we are tempted and when we have fallen into this temptation, or we've not said no when we should have, that we can't go to God. We know that God is the answer, but we have this thing inside of us that says, like, hey, you don't need to go to God, because he's just going to say something like, you need to try harder. You need to read the Bible more. You need to pray more. You need to get up earlier. You need to do this or do that. That's what a lot of us are afraid of, because we think we have this odd thing in our mind that says that God is going to be mean to us, because we're guilty and we feel guilty over that thing in our life. But the reality is that that's not true. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4 today. And we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. And what this is going to do is basically talk to us a little bit about why that's not true and why we can go to God. And basically, what has happened up to this point is that Jesus has died, and this letter is being written to tell people, like, hey, you don't have to live the same way you did because of Jesus' death and resurrection, and that changes all of these things, and you can have full and total access to him, and we're going to see how that changes how we react to temptation in our life. And I tell our students this all the time. If you allow God to speak to your heart and to actually change you from the inside out, this will change your life. Because God's word is powerful, and it will do that, and Jesus is strong enough to do that. So if you will just allow that to happen today, you will see God work in your life. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And if you're like me, when you read this, you first kind of feel like a little discouraged, because you're like, well, of course Jesus didn't sin. He's Jesus. That doesn't mean that I can do that. But if we focus on that kind of negative thing, we miss something very important at the beginning. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. This means that Jesus sympathizes with you and I. Jesus has the ability to have empathy. Why? Because he has been there and he has experienced temptation on every level. And he knows our frustration. He knows how hard it is to say no when something is right there that it's easy to say yes to. And because Jesus has experienced those temptations, he can relate to us, right? A lot of us have this idea that God and Jesus are so far removed and far away from us that we can't experience him personally because he couldn't possibly know what we go through every day. But the reality is that Jesus has been there, Jesus knows, Jesus understands your frustration, and Jesus wants to help you. He has experienced the draw of lust and of pride and of greed. He's felt it all. And I want you to understand that God knows how tough it is for you and I to say no, because he knew how tough it was for him to say no. And that means that we can be completely real and open with Jesus. That means that you don't have to put your church face on. That means it's okay for you to open up and to be honest with God about what you're going through and what you've dealt with and how it's affecting you and how you're broken and how you desire to change. Jesus says, I understand and I get you. Just come to me and be honest and true about what it is. And then look at verse 16, because it's about to get really good, okay? Because this is going to bring us right to our big point. Our big point today is that when your willpower runs out, you have access to him. When your willpower runs out, you have access to his. So verse 16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Like we said before, for a lot of us, when it comes to temptation and things like that, the last thing that we want to do is go to God, right? Whether it's because you feel like you can't, or you're afraid of what he's going to say, or you just feel guilty and shameful and that you couldn't approach a holy God because you're broken. Whatever it might be, we don't want to go to him. But I'm telling you, what it's saying here is for us to go to God and tell him what we're doing online. Tell him how we're feeling about our boss or coworker. Tell him how hard it is for us to say no to the things we know we need to. Just want you to come to him and tell him these things. And some of you in here are just cringing inside. You're like, I am not going to tell God about my deepest, darkest secrets, the things that I'm tempted with the most. Well, here's a little side note for you. He already knows. Okay, he's not oblivious to the fact that these things are happening. But on top of that is that you don't have to be embarrassed about it. You don't have to be shameful going to God. You don't have to be scared of God, because we can take our temptations to Jesus and he will help us in our time of need. He's not going to leave us abandoned. He's not just going to say, you don't need anything from me because you're broken. And the thing is he doesn't just say in this passage to come to me. He says to approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. That means that we can go, even in our brokenness, we can go to God and say, Jesus, I need you. I'm broken. Help me. I know that you're there. I know that you love me. I know that you want me to come to you. So I'm here on my knees begging for forgiveness and confessing this to you. With confidence, Jesus wants us to come to his throne. And when we do that, it allows some things to happen in our life. It allows us to see past ourselves. Because when we don't do this, we begin to be consumed by those temptations. And it completely controls our life. But when we go to God and we ask Him to change us and to guide us through it, we have this opportunity to see past ourselves and to see others in need. Okay, show of hands. Who has been through something hard in their life? Okay, so everyone, right? And if you didn't raise your hand, it's coming, just to let you know. So because you've all been through something hard, let's get another poll here. Who knows somebody else who is going through something similar to something you have went through? Raise your hand. Most everybody. Okay, so in this moment, when you see someone who is going through something you've already been through and dealt with, do you look at that person and go, suck it up and deal, man? Like, you're doing terrible. No, obviously not. You go to that person and you can offer encouragement. You can help them through it because you've already been there. You understand the trials that's coming. You understand how difficult it's going to be. So I want you to think about the fact that human beings have this capacity. If we have this capacity, how much compassion and care and kindness and grace and mercy do you think that Jesus has if we were to come to Him because we've went through something that He's already been through? Obviously, it is far beyond what we can do or far beyond anything that a person can accomplish. And this is a big deal because when it comes to helping us, Jesus actually can. I know it. You can get help from other people, and that's good, and you should do that. But the bottom line is that Jesus actually can help you. Jesus can actually change you and put your life on a different trajectory. And if we're all honest, we have figured out at this point that we cannot do this by ourselves. When it comes down to it, we will always end up saying yes when we should say no. With enough time, we will say yes when we should say no. And that's not the case for Jesus, though. Our power will run out, but His will not. Think about this. We're talking about Jesus, the guy who was killed, and then 3 days later came back from the dead. Okay? He went through a whole life without falling to temptation. He died, and then He conquered death. Sin was no match for Him. Death was no match for Him. Do you think that our temptation and the things that we're going through is suddenly going to cause Him to fail? Absolutely not. And listen, with that being said, look at what Paul says in Romans 8:11. He says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." If you know Jesus and you have confessed and had Him come into your life and save you, listen, that means that you have His power living within you. That means that when you come to the point where you're tempted and you don't know if you have the power to say no to this thing, you have complete and total access to Jesus because He lives within you. Think about this for a moment. We can do what seems impossible because we have access to the Spirit of Jesus who has already accomplished the impossible. We can do what seems impossible. We can accomplish not falling to this temptation. We can accomplish living our lives for Jesus because He has already accomplished the impossible by dying and coming back from the dead, defeating sin, changing everything for us. But that does raise the question of, like, so what actually are we supposed to do? Like, that makes sense. We get that Jesus is great, but what are we supposed to do? I want to give you just a couple things here. Number one, take it to Jesus. When these things happen, actually make the decision to take these things to Jesus. There's always going to be a temptation to retreat, to run from these things, to hide, or just to try to lie about it and think that it doesn't exist. There's always that temptation. There will always be the pull to stop praying, to stop reading the Bible, because it just makes you feel too bad, or just to not come to church, because then you will be faced with people who might ask you about these things. There's always going to be that temptation, but that's when we understand and remind ourselves, Jesus has already been there, and he has sympathy for us because he understands. And we can go to him and with confidence confess these things to him and ask him to help us and change us. Number two is trust what he says. So it doesn't do a whole lot of good for us to go to Jesus if we're not actually going to trust in what he says, right? And here's what Jesus says. I love you. A lot of people have a hard time understanding what it means to be loved. But Jesus, not only does he say, I love you, but he has shown us. He died for us. The ones who fall to temptation, who say yes to sin instead of grace. But Jesus still says, I love you. Come to me and I will give you rest and grace and life in abundance. Turn from what you've done and come to me and ask for me. That's what Jesus is saying. And we have to trust that. And I see high school girls and middle school girls going through this life where they feel like they can't trust what Jesus says because everyone else around them is telling them that you're not pretty enough. You don't look the right way. You don't hang out with the right people. And I know that that's not just high school and middle school. I know that there are ladies in here that are experiencing this thing where they see their friends on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, and they see this and they're like tempted to look at their life and say that it's not good enough because it doesn't match up to what theirs looks like. And there are men in here. There are a lot of high school and middle school boys that go through their life and they're like, I've got to have the best job that pays the most, and I've got to have the most friends, and I've got to have the coolest ride, and all of these things. And they're tempted to fall into this lifestyle of seeking the world. And I know that there are men in this room that are seeking that. I've got to work more so that I can have more. And I can look and have a certain status. We're tempted to these things, but Jesus all the while is just saying, don't be tempted by these things. Just come to me. I am enough. But the reality is that we do not trust that he is enough. And that's why we always go back to those other things. And I know that that's a little uncomfortable, but that's the truth. If you say to Jesus, after he has told you, come to me, and I will make these things right, and you say, I'm still going to go over here to this, you're saying, I don't trust what you said, Jesus. I don't trust you. And when we think about it in that respect, it makes you take a step back and kind of evaluate. Because this is the God of the universe. This is the same God who created everything, you and I, knows every hair on our head, breathed life into Adam, numbered the stars. This is the God who we're telling that we don't trust. The whole time that I'm preparing for this message with the students, my week, I felt like trash because I realized how bad that I do at this. And then I'm preparing for it again, and I realize I'm still bad at this. But all the while, Jesus is still saying, come to me, you can trust me, and I love you, and I am there for you. So the last one, number three, is something that's going to challenge you even more. So you've went to Jesus, and you've confessed these things, and you've asked him for help, and then Jesus tells you, tell someone else. And now you're like, okay, Dakota, pump the brakes. It's hard enough for me to tell Jesus these things. I'm not about to go and tell someone else that could potentially tell someone else. But here's the thing. Jesus gives you the body so that you can go to someone else and they can walk through life tangibly with you. So that you can sit down and pray with someone and their hand be on your shoulder in the midst of the hardest times in your life. The things that you don't think that you could ever make it through, you can have someone there with you in addition to Jesus. It's not a bad deal. But I want you to understand something about all of this. None of this makes sense if you don't know Jesus. You might be in here today and you're like, well, that sounds great, but I don't see how that's possible. The reason you don't see how that's possible is because you don't see the God and you don't know the God who has conquered the impossible. All it takes is you understanding that you have broken the relationship between you and God because of sin, because of the things that you have done that are disobedient to God, the things that don't please him. You have broken that relationship. And that has happened from your birth. But through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you have the opportunity to come to him and confess, turn away from those sins, and confess to him that you are broken and that you need him, and he will come to you upon your request for him to save you. Because we can trust what he says. We can trust what he's done. And that's the point where we're at. And we did this thing in students called So What, Now What? It's kind of like the end. It's like, okay, now what do we do from this point? You've told me all of this stuff. What now? And the So What, Now What for today is that you and I need to think about the temptation in our life. Think about that thing that you have such a hard time saying no to when you know you should. And then ask yourself this question. Am I willing to take my temptation to Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, you need to ask yourself, do I know Jesus and am I willing to go to him? But if you know Jesus and you're in this situation where you have fallen to this temptation over and over again and you're finding yourself right on the cusp of falling off the cliff again, you need to ask yourself, am I willing to take this temptation in this moment to Jesus? Because I can trust him and he is willing to help me because he understands. Father, thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to speak here. Lord, I pray that you would be working in the lives of the people in this room. God, that you would change everything. And God, that we would start relying on you rather than ourselves because we know that we will run out of power, but God, you will never run out of power. I pray that if anybody in here doesn't know you, God, that today would be the day that they would not leave here without talking to someone about how they can come into a personal relationship with you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.